A lot of people are going to cults and other beliefs. And so we have spent about $900,000 on advertising in North Carolina this month in Here's Hope Revival. And we're having simultaneously in the East 2 weeks, in the Piedmont section 2 weeks, and then in the mountain for 2 weeks. I'll be in the mountains in Revival the 25th of April. And we're hoping through this endeavor of Here's Hope that we'll experience a lot of people being saved and a lot of people uniting with a church. But I'm going to tell you, it isn't easy in this day. It's much more difficult today to have revival than it was 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago. Now, the difference is, people must be revived, and they must want a revival. God isn't going to send it unless you want it. It's ready. He's ready to pour out his blessings upon us. But my friends, he isn't going to send a revival until we are ready for it. God cannot fill a cup that is filled with worldliness. We must empty ourselves first and then ask God to fill us with His Spirit. Now, the subject this morning is a question. What's in thine hand? I want to challenge you with that question this morning. In the fourth chapter of Exodus, in the second verse, we read the text of this message. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. He said, A rod. Now there are approximately 1,500 passages of Scripture in the Bible where the word hand is used. To be exact, it's 1,448. And it's used because the hand is a very, very important part of the body. Now, I've been on voice rest, supposed to be on voice rest. I'm preaching this week and last week and 2 weeks before against doctor's orders. But as important as a voice is, our hands are most important. Now, if you don't believe it, you try to court with your hands behind you. That'd be pretty hard to do, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it, John? Be pretty hard, wouldn't it? It'd be pretty hard to do anything without two good hands. And when I see people who have amputated arms and hands, I feel for them. Because the hand is so important, and there are several characters in the Bible whose hands I want to refer to this morning. Now, one of them is the text that I read to you. The hands of Moses in the second verse of that fourth chapter of Exodus. The angel of the Lord appeared in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. Now that scared most of us to death. Just look out there to death to see a fire burning in a bush way out in the desert. And the Lord called Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Here I am. If he calls you this week, can you say, Here I am in this church? So in Exodus, the third chapter, the 15th verse, Moses received his commission. Here it is. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. But you know, Moses had two objections. He must have been typical Baptist, because he had two objections. First, he said, "Lord, the people are too mean, they're too wicked." And the second was, "I haven't had any experience. I lack in eloquence. I'm not able to perform speech-wise." Have you ever heard that, pastor and nominating committee? When you ask somebody to teach a class, "Well, I don't believe I've had that experience. Don't want to do that. I never had experience washing dishes until my wife put me to washing dishes either. But that didn't work with her. I didn't say, 'Honey, I can't wash dishes. I haven't had any experience.' She's, 'There they are. Get busy.'" You see. May leave half of them dirty, but at least they went through the cycle of being washed, you see. Moses felt that the people wouldn't listen to him. So the Lord asked him, "Moses, what do you have in your hands?" He said, "Well, Lord, it's only a rod." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." And Moses threw that rod on the ground. And when he did, it became a serpent. Just a plain old snake. The Bible says he fled. But then God spoke to him. I suppose most people would flee if suddenly there came a snake near you like that. And he said, "Moses, pick that thing up by the tail." Now, you know, that was a hard order. You don't pick a snake up by the tail. If you pick a snake up, you pick him up behind his neck, you know. But he told Moses to pick up that snake by the business end of that snake. And he did it. I wonder if we would have done that. Would you have done that, lady? You wouldn't have done that, would you? I don't know that I would have. But yet God said, "Do it." And Moses just, he must have heard mighty strong to do that, because he reached down there and got that thing by the tail. And then it became a rod. Well, he went on to perform some other miracles there. But then he said, "Now, I want you to take this rod in your hand, and you're going to do signs and wonders with it." Well, Moses appeared to the Israelites way down in Egypt. And God told him to do this same thing. And he did. He threw that rod down and it became a snake. He picked it up and it became a rod. And the Bible says the people believed that he was of God. And Moses prepared the people after many trials, after many grievances. And one day he led them out of Egypt and he led them to the Red Sea. And the enemy were chasing them. And the 14th chapter of Exodus tells us about them crossing the Red Sea. We're going to Israel in September. We're going to take a bus trip from Israel down to Egypt, and we're going to cross down the Gaza Strip, and we're going to see the Red Sea. I'm excited. I'm taking a tour. I've been there twice before, and I'm going back a third time if things don't get much worse than they are right now. But I'm looking forward to just putting my eyes on the Red Sea. Preacher, I've been to the Nile River, across the Nile River, but I want to see a little bit about that place where Moses was. Moses came to the Red Sea, and you know, he said to the people, "Now listen, folks, stand still, and you're going to see the hand of God work." But you know, the Lord didn't exactly like this. He didn't like Moses saying that. God was going to work. But he didn't like Moses saying, you people don't have to do anything. He said, why are you crying unto me, Moses? Speak unto your people that they go forward. But hold your rod up. Moses stood there and held the rod up and told the people to go forward. Into that water? It's exactly what they had to do. But as they approached the water separated. And they went through across dry shot to the other side. Moses used what he had in his hand for the glory of God. Now let me quickly take you to another man in the Bible, Samson. All of us know the story of Samson. In the 15th chapter of the book of Judges, the 15th verse, it says that he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Now, as Samson was bound with strong cords, the Spirit of God came upon him in great power, and Samson was loosed. And then he takes this jawbone and he slew 1,000 Philistines. He used what he had in his hands for the glory of God. And because of this, God allowed him to judge Israel for 20 years. Had Samson not been willing to use what he had in his hands for God, he probably would have died while he was bound with cords. But because of his willingness to serve God, God spared his life for 20 more years to rule Israel. I believe that God will add to the lives of people years if they use it for his glory. My friends, we are put here for a reason. Now, the quicker we find out that that reason is to serve God, the sooner we'll understand that our lives can be lengthened. I don't go along with this thing that there's a bullet for everybody, or there's a time when I'm going to get to a place, and when I get there, I'm gone. There's nothing I can do about it. I believe prayer changes anything. A few years ago, I was in the hospital. My fever was 105. And it just looked like I wasn't going to be there long. I called a lady in our church and I said, get the prayer people praying. Get the prayer group, the prayer chain going. The devil is vying for my life. And if something doesn't happen, I'm going to die. I hung up the telephone. Then I said, Lord, I'd been tempted. Some of my people had come and said, preacher, if you want to stay here forever, now, if you'll preach sweet sermons, you won't say too much about smoking and drinking and all that sort of stuff, you can stay here a long time. I was being tempted to preach sweet, soothing sermons, preacher. The Lord put me on my back so I could see him. And when I closed my eyes and prayed, I said, Lord, if you'll spare me, I'll preach the unsearchable riches of yours, and I'll never compromise your word. And in less than 3 minutes, my temperature dropped to 100. And God raised me up. You think I'll go back on that? You think I would compromise the word of God? I'll not do it. God spared my life to preach a little longer. Let me quickly take you to another person. David. The hands of David. In 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verse 40. David faces Goliath, the Philistines. And it says here that he took his staff in his hand, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. David said to Goliath, I have come in the name of the Lord of hosts, in the name of the God of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Verse 45. And with that little slingshot, with that little weapon in his hand, and God on his side, he perfected God's will in the life of Israel. He slew the giant. Over there in the New Testament, there's a beautiful story about a little boy. Used what he had for God. Jesus went up on the mountains with his disciples. A great multitude of people followed. And Jesus saw them coming, about 5,000 strong. Jesus raised the question with Philip. Philip, where are we going to feed these people? How are we going to buy food for them? A little boy, his mother had packed a lunch that morning. And that little boy was among the 5,000. And he had a lunchbox. Andrew discovered the little boy, and he saw that he had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now that would have been enough loaves for me, but not enough fish. You see, 2 small fishes. I need 2 large ones anytime. He said, would you let Jesus have what you have in your hands? He said, sure. Little boy was intrigued with Jesus. And so he gave him what he had in his hands. And Jesus blessed it. And he started breaking that loaf. And it just kept multiplying. He started breaking the fish and it kept multiplying. Now, don't ask me how it happened. But in the end, after everybody was fed, they had 12 baskets left over. You know, there's a Baptist church down in the Panhandle of Florida about 20 years ago that split over that. What happened to the 12 baskets left over? Part of them said something happened with them. Other part said something else. And that church split in two. And they had to get the secretary of the state of Florida to come up there and straighten that out. He said, that made me so mad I wanted to dip snuff. How in the world anybody? It was a miracle that they fed them. Well, I don't know what happened to those 12 baskets. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they didn't give him that little boy and let him take him home. He should have had them. But that wasn't the issue. The issue was that God performed a miracle. Jesus performed a miracle. Now, as I come in for the close, how about your hands? Look at them. Look at your hands. Jesus is saying to you today, what's in thine hand? Friends, this revival is in your hands. It isn't in your pastor's hands. It isn't in my hands. It's in your hands. Will you pray? Will you visit? Will you witness for Jesus? Sunday school teacher, what's in your hands? Your pupils are in your hands. You've got some lost pupils in your classes, children and adults. You ought to contact them. You should have already contacted them. You ought to get on the telephone. You ought to go see them and get them in this revival meeting. If you can't witness to them, at least bring them so we can preach to them and sing to them. Will you be faithful to the church? Will you be on time? Will you set an example before your Sunday school class by attending church every night? If you're a Sunday school teacher and you're not here tomorrow night and the next night, you can't get up and conscientiously say to your pupils, hey, we need to support the church program. We need to support the church. Mother and Dad, I see a large group of mothers and fathers here this morning. What's in your hands? Your children. Your children in your hands. God has given them to you. What are you going to do with them? Do you know our children are being less and less concerned about Sunday school and church nowadays? Because parents are not concerned enough to get them there? When I was just a little tyke, my mother put me on her knees and she held me up to God and said, Lord, make a preacher out of him. I dedicate him to you. I don't remember that. I was just a little fellow. But she told me she did. My mother never lived to see me preach or hear me preach. God took her at a very young age. But the fact remains that she dedicated me to God. Have you dedicated your children to God? You just remember this, beloved. God has given them to you. And he can take them away from you just as easy. Just as easy. A little girl had a pet cat. None of the family liked that cat. Every time it jumped on the porch, they'd kick it off. And one day the little girl died. They all went to the funeral. And when they came back home, the cat ran across the porch and a little sister picked that cat up and began to rub it and said, Sister sure did love you. Sister sure did love you. We think too late what a child means to us. Too late. I was sharing with your pastor and his wife last evening about some problems in our area with young people being arrested for dope. And I'm called upon all the time to go and try to help them in court. And it breaks your heart whenever you see young people and then you examine the parents, their lives, and you see how negligent they have been. And here's a 24-year-old boy whose parents are in our church out on a $10,000 bond for possession and distributing and delivering dope. They called me, wanted me to talk to him. He wants to get started to church. But his purpose for starting the church is to get out of that conviction in court. This isn't the reason. He should have started 24 years ago. You see, Mom and Dad should have had him in church 24 years ago, but they didn't do it. How about you, my dear people? What do you have in your hands this morning that can be used for Jesus? If you haven't committed it to God, will you do it today? You hold something in your hand that you can commit to Jesus today, and God can use it for this revival. If you're unsaved this morning, you have your life in your hands. Will you come and commit that life to God? Will you say, Lord, I want to give you my life. I hold my life in my hands, and you're the only one that holds it in your hand. Christian, what do you hold in your hand this morning that you can give to God this week to bring about revival in this church and the salvation of your children or your parents' children, whatever it is? You hold something in your hands. While we bow our heads, I want you to examine your hands and your life. Would you bow your heads with me? While you're examining your life this morning, you're asking God what he has in your hands, what you have in your hands that I can use for you, Lord. And then when I give the invitation, the pastor will stand here in front to receive you. Would you come and say to him, Pastor, I want to give myself to this revival. I want to give my life. I want to give my heart to Jesus and be saved today. I want to give my family. I want to give my children. I want God to work through me this week in revival. You may want to unite with this church. By the transfer of a letter, you're invited to come. However God speaks to you, let God get a hold of your life and change you now. Our Father, bless in this decision time. We pray, our Father, that thou wilt save the lost and help the saved to be committed to you. Help them, Lord, to say this morning, I come and give my all to you. I rededicate my life in the spirit of revival that God might use me in witnessing, in visitation, and in soul winning this week. In Jesus' name, amen. As we turn to our invitation hymn number 187, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, would you come this morning, give this pastor your hand if you mean business for God? If you mean business, would you come and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to join this church. Or I want to give my life anew so that there might be revival in this church. Would you stand and would you come as we sing the first answer? Would you come as you are? Before we sing the next stanza, let me ask you, are you prepared to meet the Lord? Young people, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Would you come and say, Pastor, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I hold my life in my hand. If you start from the balcony, I'll wait until you get here. But my dear Christian friends, I'm talking to some this morning who need to commit themselves to revival. You need to do that. Many of you won't be back tonight. If you're a normal Baptist church, you should be back, but some of you won't. Because you've got a religion, but it's not real to you. Doesn't motivate you to give your all to Christ. I'm talking to you today. You hold something in your hands. It may be total commitment. It may be that you need God's power in your life. And you're willing to do whatever is necessary to achieve that this morning. Would you come as we sing the next stanza right now? To sing one more stanza. I'm just as certain that there are people here this morning who ought to make commitments as I'm standing here. You haven't been what you ought to be. You haven't been the Christian. You haven't had the victory in your life, the fullness of God's Spirit. Listen, my friends, God wants to use you. Will you come? I'm going to sing one other stanza. Would you come quickly? And if that's a rededication that needs to be made, make it. A commitment to Christ, make it. Whatever it is, don't let Satan rob you of that joy this morning. Would you come as we sing one more stanza?